This episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship is brought to you by Churchill Mortgage. They'll take your personal situation and find the best mortgage option for you. Call Churchill Mortgage today, 855-LOAN-200, or go to churchillmortgage.com.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, friends. Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We are taking your calls today. You call in, we'll chat, talking all about finances and relationships, and what does the Bible have to say about some of those sticky situations we get in? So if you have some kind of not-so-brilliant thing that you've done, don't be condemned. This is a show of hope. We're going to talk about how to get out. We're not going to focus on the past. We're going to focus on the future. So you call in 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And you can also email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. And you can also reach out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, you name it. Chris Brown On Air is the handle on all social media platforms. And it doesn't have to be a sticky situation. You can call in just to flat out praise God of something he's done in your life, either through your relationships, through your leadership, just some facet of your life. So you call in and we will chat. Well, this is the day where millions of people in the United States will be out trick-or-treating, having harvest parties, or celebrating Halloween. But this day is also celebrated as something else. Did you know that? Not just Halloween. Let me give you a hint. It happened on this day back in 1517. Here's another hint. The man that is responsible for this day said the following quotes. Let's see if you know him. To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Who said that? I've held many things in my hands and I have lost them all. But whatever I have placed in God's hands, that I still possess. Well, if you guessed Martin Luther, you are correct. Reformation Day. Yes, the day when Martin Luther famously posted the 95 Theses, sparking the Protestant Reformation. So, what do you do with that? I just thought it was interesting that it's not just about Halloween. All right, enough history for y'all. Let's get to your questions. We got Wade. He's calling in from Charlotte, North Carolina. Wade, how are you?
I'm doing all right, Dad. Chris, how you doing?
I'm better every day. I love your accent.
Oh, appreciate that. Thank you very much.
How can we help you?
Well, I read Dave's book, and I probably need to read it again. I have studied the baby steps. Here's the situation. Would you say it is a good idea, or is it a bad idea? I am toying with the idea of refinancing the house and going with a 15-year fixed mortgage, using the equity in the home to pay off these credit card debts and my wife Tina's school loans. We have been on the Total Money Makeover since January of last year. We're almost 2 years into this, and Chris, believe it or not, we haven't even paid off the first credit card yet. We have cut expenses where we could. We are trying to live like no one else so that later we can live like no one else. But it just seems like this is going to take forever. Mm. And the current mortgage we have now is a 30-year ARM at 2.5%. And at our age, we're going to be like 73, 74 years old before this thing is paid off. If I do a 15-year fixed using the equity, the home will be paid off before we're 60. Mm. It's not like I'm ready to rush to the bank right now. And remembering one thing that Dave said, you know, all you're doing is transferring the symptom from one spot to another. So, yeah, I guess I am transferring debt from paying it to putting it on the mortgage, but at least this way I would be having all of it paid off. The only liability I would have would be the house.
Yeah.
It's not like the first thing we would do. It's an option, or do you think this is not something to do?
What is this debt? How much is it?
Almost $29,000 still in credit card debts. Tina's school loans are at $41,000, and there's a second mortgage on the house.
Mm. And what's the income?
About, combined between the two of us, we're about $60,000.
Okay, so about a year's worth of debt.
Pretty much.
So since January of last year, and you feel like you haven't even scratched the surface. So tell me, you said you're living like no one else. You've obviously read, you've quoted probably 10 different concepts in a minute and a half. That's awesome. It's obviously you've got it. Tell me about some of these sacrifices that you've done living like no one else. What does this look like for you?
We've cut down on our entertainment. I mean, I used to go out and see the arts. You know, we would go out and see off-Broadway plays. I haven't seen a movie in like almost a year and a half, 2 years. We're getting things on Netflix now. We've cut down on the cell phones. We've reduced the plan. We used to be with Verizon. We've cut down now to a Walmart brand. We're not eating out as much. We were trying to reward ourselves. If we eat out only once a week, you know, say, hey, we're trying to work on this. Now it's like once a month. You know, and it just seems like, you know, we're still putting gas in the cars. We're still going to work. We still have the utilities, you know, and this, that, and the other. And there's five of us in the house. My wife's actually six in the house. And the good Lord blessing us, we're in the process of adopting a baby girl. She was born 2 months ago.
Mm.
So
all that cutting that you just said, and I know it pulls on our heartstrings, the adoption, but all that cutting you did, just that's
it's not going to the girl, to the baby girl. So
right, yeah, so it's like that's why you haven't you decided to do something that was, and I know it sounds horrible, it sounds insensitive, but it really is discretionary. You chose to do something you didn't have to do.
Yeah.
So that's why I think that's why you're not getting anywhere. It's not that. I mean, you're doing a lot of great things. You just made a choice, which is, I'm not telling you whether it's right or wrong. I'm just from a debt perspective and getting out of baby step two perspective, it didn't help.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I kind of understand that one. The only thing is, if we stay, I did last month's bills, just added up the minimum payments and this, that, and the other, and with a mortgage combined, we spent over $2,100 just paying the credit card bills, school loan, and the mortgage.
Yeah.
If I was to do that 15-year fix, I was toying with a mortgage calculator the other day. I would say probably about $650-$700.
Uh-huh.
So I'm looking at that and thinking, maybe we need to call Chris. Is this a good idea, or is this like maybe a last-ditch option? Do we just cheat cops, you know, scraping the barrel, trying to get some here? I'm even trying to find some supplementary, you know, employment, get a little extra cash, but I don't want to diss my family time either.
Yeah, well.
Especially with a newborn.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think you've thought this out quite a bit. And of course, you know, for folks calling in, we're always going to lean towards the get an extra job, get three extra jobs, smack it in the teeth, attack it like crazy. And whenever you're, like you said, you're shifting your debt somewhere else, you're not getting rid of it. So everything you said, I definitely, I'm with you on that. Now, if it's going to save you $600 or $700 a month, that you just can't look at it from that perspective only, because all you're doing is prolonging your debt, and you put it on the back end of the loan where you can't feel it. And so literally you're going to be paying that $60,000, you're going to be paying more for that $60,000 over the next 15 years than you would if you were just to attack it the next 24 months. So it's not just a cash flow thing. It's more that $60,000 is going to grow to 80. It's going to grow to 100. And you're going to end up wasting 40 grand by tacking on to your mortgage. So there's a lot of factors involved in this, but when you say some of the things you've done to tighten your budget, I definitely applaud what you have done. I just feel like there's still some room for you to squeeze a little bit more. And I'd like to give it a fair shake, the debt snowball, a fair shake before you start doing this stuff. I do like the fact you go into a 15-year, but I don't know about the, adding all this consumer debt in there. So you must have a pretty good loan to value, a lot of equity in there.
Well, we bought the house short sale in 2009, and automatically I conservatively estimated the house of birth, we probably had $30,000-$35,000 in equity right off the bat, because there's a home, same floor plan on the other side of our neighborhood,
uh-huh.
went for $210,000 just 1 year later.
Yeah.
And we got ours for $170 on a short sale.
Mm. Well, I think you're going to, you know, you're going to do whatever you're going to do. But for me, if I think you stick with it. I don't think you've really worked the plan yet, because you did do some shaving, but then you picked up a major expense as well. Although it's very noble, from a financial perspective, that's why you're not gaining any ground. That's all. So I would work another plan, another 18 to 20.
Maybe keep at the debt snowball a little bit longer and see how, because like I said, transferring, getting a, redoing the mortgage would be like a last ditch.
Yeah.
Unless you think it's best advice, don't do it, because it's not a good idea.
Correct. Because that's
I haven't done anything right now. I was looking for advice first before I did anything at all.
No, of course. I think you're on the right track as far as you're reading and you're doing all the things you're doing. I would give another 6 months and see what's going on after you kind of leveled out on the new expenses in the house. But
already,
I don't like throwing into the home at all. Unfortunately, I'm sorry. I know that would have been a quick answer for you, and you're like, "Oh, that'd be sweet," but I just don't think that's where we.
Well, no, I'm asking for honesty, and whether it's you, Dave, or anyone, that's what I want.
Wade, you're the man. You're awesome, man. Well, we appreciate the call, and I will say this, man. Philippians 3:13, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it on my own, but one thing I do: forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. And you're not running away from something. You're running towards something. And this new life with a new life in the home. And all you're doing is putting together a game plan going forward, not backward, but going forward on how to best position your family. So don't be discouraged by the past. Be encouraged about the future. Okay?
I appreciate that, buddy. You take care of yourself. Thank you so much for the advice.
Thanks, Wade.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
Picture this. You have a great job and plenty of money in savings, but you're afraid to take the leap into home ownership. What should you do, rent or buy? Well, the fact is, buying a home sets you up for building wealth. So if it's a reasonable expense in your budget, you're better off buying. Talk to my friends at Churchill Mortgage to help you build a smarter plan today. Call 855-LOAN-200 or go to churchillmortgage.com/Chris Brown.
This is a paid advertisement. NMLS ID 1591. Equal housing lender. 761 Old Hickory Boulevard. Brentwood, Tennessee 37027.
All right, folks, you're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and I'm your host, Chris Brown. We're taking your calls at 866-357-3283, and it looks like we got a call from Chicago, Illinois. This is Andrew. Andrew, how are you?
Hi, Chris. I'm good.
Good. How can we help?
Well, I am looking for some advice on purchasing an investment property that's down the block from me. Just to go over some of my financials, I currently make between $105,000 and $120,000 a year. That's with overtime.
Okay.
I've got, and keep in mind, I have four kids and a wife. I have a home, which is paid off.
Wow.
It's probably worth in the area of $500,000. It's at the top of the market in my area. And so I also have about $60,000 so far in retirement. And I'm putting about 12% in retirement of my income. And then I've got about $40,000 emergency savings. And given the current mortgage rates of about in the area 3%, I was thinking it might be a good idea to take out a cash out loan against my home for about $300,000 and purchase a house that's just down the block from me for about $260,000, or I'd like to get that price down, but that's what they're asking prices at the moment. So I'm concerned about the risk that I'm putting myself and my family in by doing something like that. It is nice to be debt free.
Yeah. No consumer debt either, huh?
No consumer debt, no.
That's great. Well, here's the deal. You're in a great position, and I think you can't forget what got you to the dance, and you got to keep that same behavior going. I think the thinking about how to maximize your dollars and investing for the future is the right thought, but you're a little bit ahead of your cash and you're trying to manufacture something. So I like the idea of you finding a good deal down the block, but I want you to use cash. So when that 40 grows to, 150 or something, then go out and buy something with $100,000 in cash. And then that cash flow, $700-$800 a month is all cash flow, instead of you taking on all of that risk and all of that frustration and all of that extra work for a $200 net cash flow because you're having to pay a mortgage on it. So, and you've got all that risk. You said that you work overtime. What industry?
Well, I'm a police officer in Chicago.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, thanks for your service, man.
Well, thank you. That's appreciate awesome. That.
So I guess you would know this analogy that as you take on all this debt and stuff, it's a whole idea of risk aversion and risk tolerance. So like, for instance, speeding on the highway, there's folks that feel comfortable going 5 over. There's some that feel comfortable going 10 over. And once they get in that 10, 15, 20, right, what they're doing is taking on risk. Yeah, they're going to get there quicker, but they've got higher risk of hitting a snag. And I would want you not to do that. I wouldn't want you to, what you'd be doing is the equivalent of going 15, 20 over.
Okay.
And you'd be putting your family of 4 children and a wife in a higher risk. And so I'd want you to take your time, revisit this in a couple of years when you have more cash.
Even though the current mortgage rates are really low?
Yeah, and you probably wouldn't get that. As soon as they know it's for an investment, you're not going to get the 3. It's going to be way higher than that. So I doubt you'd get that. And I wouldn't do it anyway, mm-hmm. Just because I wouldn't want the risk. Yeah, your cash flow is going to be better, but you're still at risk. You still owe somebody something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for the solid advice.
All right. Thank you, Andrew.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, folks. I know you may roll your eyes when stores start gearing up for Christmas all the way in July. I know that happened to me this July. I was in Hobby Lobby in, where was I? Myrtle Beach. And I walked into a Hobby Lobby and there was a whole section for Christmas. But it is also good to prepare. Now, we need to have our budgets ready, and I know for me, this is a time when I started thinking more and more about how I can bless others and bring them hope during the holiday season. So, ready? We are kicking off Christmas tomorrow, right here on the show, and I'm telling you, folks, it's going to be huge. I have a gigantic announcement to share with y'all that I promise you're going to want to hear. So make sure you tune in, subscribe to the podcast, do whatever you need to do, but make sure you're listening to the show tomorrow because I have an incredible opportunity to share with you. We are kicking off our Christmas here on Chris Brown's True Stewardship, so make sure you check it out.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Remember, we want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Some of you have been sending words of encouragement to other listeners in our stewardship community. We want you to keep it up. You can call us at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Or you can email us at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Let's continue now with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Up next from Houston, Texas, this is Lynn. Lynn, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you for taking my phone call.
Yeah, how can we help?
Well, I hope you can give me some advice. My husband, he was diagnosed with ADHD when we were married early on, mm-hmm. and he has a very hard time with getting organized. So with that to say, we are 3 years behind on our taxes, and I really haven't seen progress on his part. I've already turned in what I need to turn in for my portion to the accountant, and we've just been waiting on his. So my question is, should I go ahead and file separately?
How long have you all been married?
15 years, and this has been a pattern from the beginning. And
you guys have a pretty open relationship overall?
I like to think so. I mean, we do have our finances separate mm-hmm. for the most part. I mean, we are in FTU right now, but that's really because I've been dragging him through it.
Yeah.
So
is he late with other things?
Yes. I mean, like today our water was turned off.
All right. So it sounds to me like you've got some pretty justifiable frustration in your heart. Do you?
Yes, very much so.
Okay.
I have been, I've been trying to help him, and I've been trying to do a lot of it, but I can't do it by myself. Mm-hmm. And I'm at the point where I realize that I'm no longer, I used to blame myself. Maybe I'm not doing enough. Maybe I, and now I'm just like, no, he has to have some responsibility in this. I cannot take full responsibility for this. So,
yeah, here's what I hear. First of all, before you engage in this conversation with him, like the official conversation, I would pray before you engage in it, because you don't want the frustration to come out. You want a solution to come out. So it's more about the solution, not about your frustration. It's more about, hey, what are the best steps forward? Let's not focus on the past. And what I would do is I would have a conversation about strengths and weaknesses, and how you both can better cover each other in these next 15 years. So it's deeper than just taxes. It's, we had a great 15 years, and let's look forward to the next 15. And how can we cover each other in our strengths and our weaknesses? Again, not having anything to do with taxes. We want to go to the next level. And what you want to do is, I think you need to lead out with yours, your weaknesses. And then create an environment where it's okay for him to have weaknesses. And then call out some things that he's awesome at, and just kind of create this environment where it breaks down walls. Because ultimately what you need, and you may not want to hear this, is you need to take over all the finances. And you said you couldn't do it on your own, but I think you can. Many people do all the finances on their own. And I think you're a strong enough woman where you can do that. And I think based on your husband's track record on these kind of organizational things, your family desperately needs you to step up in this area. And then maybe he can take some other stuff off of you. But I think that's what you want to do. You want to go in and kind of say, hey, how can we're one flesh and we're supposed to be a team. And so when I'm running the ball, you block. And when you're running the ball, I block. Sorry for the sports analogy.
That's fine.
But maybe we're dancing and figure skating or something. And, you know, we're carrying each other and leading each other. I don't know what it is, but the bottom line is you're a team, and just make it deeper than taxes and how you can cover each other. I think try that and see what happens. But somebody who is struggling in a lot of different areas on the organizational side, I don't see this getting fixed.
No, I don't either.
And let's allow him to be him in this next season, and allow him to do what he does well. I'm sure he has some strengths. And let's.
Oh, he certainly does.
Yeah, let's leverage those, and let's cover up the weaknesses.
Okay. So,
yeah, you definitely need to take him from it. Like, that's the nice soft answer. But the bottom line is you've got to take the finances from him. You have to.
Okay.
It's a stewardship principle, and it's a honesty issue that we need to pay what's due to Caesar, and you got to do it on time because your testimony is being ruined. So it needs to be done. So just be bold about it, but let's try to go away where we're actually partnered with each other, because it's deeper than you just telling him he needs to give it over to you or telling him to do something.
I guess yeah.
It's a partner.
I haven't wanted to completely take over, because I don't want to feel like, you know, I know Dave, I hear him talking. You don't want one person being like, here's your allowance. And I don't want to do that.
No,
you know?
I don't mean including him in the process. I'm talking about you hitting the deadlines and you doing the math, and you're the one that seals the envelope. And you're the one that walks down to the mailbox. But he's got a say in it all still.
Okay.
So you're not stealing his thunder that way. You're just taking care of the organizational side. I'm covering your weaknesses. Hey, I've got a bolted list here. I'm going down a list. It happens to be one of my strengths. Let me just take that off of you.
Okay.
And man, if you could take this off me, this thing over here, I'm not good at this. Thank God, man, you're awesome at it. That's awesome.
Okay.
You guys are just covering each other, but he's still involved in the process mentally, of course. Yeah.
Okay. One more question.
Yep.
If he does not engage in a conversation, because he really doesn't like talking about finances, I'm sure because it stresses him out and he'd rather just not think about it.
Yeah.
And if he just won't communicate with me, it's very hard for me to do his taxes and get the numbers together if he's not communicating with me. At that point, I mean, I'm gonna go in just like you say. But
yeah.
At that point, do you ever recommend somebody filing your taxes separately?
No, that's completely fine. There's nothing wrong with that at all. I mean, lots of people do that because of the tax advantages. In their situation, it happens to give them a tax advantage. I don't know if it does that for you.
I don't think it will.
Yeah, it probably won't, but some people it does. There's nothing wrong with that. But I would work as hard as you can in these next 15 years to get to a place where you guys have got your finances combined, because that's the way that God wants it.
Right. I agree. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn. Thanks for the call.
Thank you very much. Okay. Have a blessed day.
Bye-bye. All right, folks. Well, make sure you're listening tomorrow. Great calls today. But tomorrow is going to be a huge announcement, because it's Christmas time here at Chris Brown's True Stewardship. So make sure you're tuning in. Subscribe to the podcast today if you haven't already. But make sure you're here with us, because I have an incredible opportunity that I want to share with you. Folks, it has been a pleasure. And until next time, let's continue to manage God's blessings, God's way, not for our glory, but for His. God bless you.